Welcome to this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin. And guys, I think it's very important on this Saturday morning to point out that today is National Sports Day. So this segment this morning is going to have a bit of a sports theme to it. But I think it may be even more important, especially considering some of the circumstances of the past week and everything that's unfolded in thoroughbred racing, that we point out that tomorrow is National Mulligan Day. So if we completely mess this thing up today, we can get a do-over tomorrow. How about that?
We're not going to mess nothing up. No, we don't need any mulligans. No.
Just hit it right down the middle.
Stand by what I say. If you had the rookies in here, you could have the mulligans.
All right. No ball. Look, when I play golf, and I played for years, I have to take two mulligans and nine. So, and I still shoot 130.
I shoot 77. When I get 77, I quit.
Well, I don't shoot at all, so I'm ahead of the game. If I want to take a walk, I'll go out in the woods.
All right. Well, listen, we just heard that call of California Angel winning the Jesmond Stakes, closed like a freight train under jockey Rafael Bejarano to win that Grade 2 event by a nose at Keeneland on Wednesday. That victory officially brings the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series to a close here in the United States. The final two challenge races for this year's Breeders' Cup are being run later today at Ascot. There were 11 win-and-you're-in races run last weekend, 9 at Keeneland, 2 at Belmont. Which winner was most impressive to you guys? Tim?
You know, there were a heck of a lot of really nice efforts last week. Latruska in the Spinster, and Tis the Bomb breaking through the gate, and then when the Bourbon, following C in the Vosburgh, those would all be worthy to be on the top of my list. But I'm going with Wesley Ward's Averly Jane, who won the Indian Summer the third time she's beaten the boys this year. She just broke out of there like a rocket. And even though that's only been the fourth time for the Indian Summer, the only fourth running, I mean, she won it in stakes record time, 102 and 6.65. So, you know, I think that she's going to head to Del Mar with a huge chance to win the Juvenile Turf Sprint, a race that Wesley has won twice already in 2020 and 2019. So Averly Jane is she's now undefeated in four starts, by the way, and that was her first time on the grass. But I think her impressive turn of foot, man, I think she's going to be a monster heading out to California. That's my pick for the race of the last week.
Well, you know, I agree it's impressive to win any winning you're in. And that makes your life a lot easier going out there. It takes a lot of pressure off of you than having an owner write a big check and going out there and worrying about getting the money back. But I want to say that the Breeders' Futurity, I think, has been under-talked about. I think McPeak's colt ran a huge race. I like a horse that beats a big field. He beat a full field of horses and did it the right way. I think a juvenile going in to this year's Breeders' Cup will benefit from being able to sit off the pace and come running. There's going to be a lot of speed in the race, as there always is. I thought he was impressive. I think he's going to California in good form. I watch him training in the mornings. So I think he's the real deal.
Dale, it's interesting. You've had so much success in that Breeders' Futurity over the years. Forget about Breeders' Cup, but looking ahead to the first Saturday in May next year, why is that such an important stepping stone to what could be Derby success in 2022 for those horses?
Well, it's obviously it's the only outside of Breeders' Cup Grade 1 2-year-old race in Kentucky, and like I said, it seems like it always has a full field of horses. 13 horses showed up the other day, and I think that it's really important to have a horse going on the Derby preps that has proven he can beat a big field, because in a big field you're going to have to overcome some adversity. And whoever wins that race every year seems like they do, and they do it the right way.
Yeah, interesting take. Dale Romans, Tim Wilkin, this is I Ask, They Answer. That's topic one. Let's move on to topic number two, guys. This past week, legislators in New York sent legislation to Governor Kathy Hochul, which would end a current law in New York, which mandated that horses in the same race, which are trained or ridden by a spouse, a parent, or member of a jockey's household, have to run as a coupled entry. That is no longer going to be the case once this new legislation is signed into law, which is expected to happen. Good move on the part of legislators in the Empire State, What do you think?
Excellent, excellent move. I'll take this one first, Tim. Excellent move. Need to be done. You know, you're betting in the simulcast up there. You can go to Saratoga and bet on Kentucky where that rule is not in place through the window, but you can at your own racetrack. And in this business we're in, there's so many conflicts of interest. This is a carnival atmosphere. So many people are either married or cousins or brothers or fathers, sons, daughters, mothers. I'll tell you a quick story. Tammy rode against me one time here at Churchill, and she tried to put my horse over the fence trying to come through on the inside. Next, we did get through and beat her, though, and I own part of the horse. You try to put my investment right over the fence. She said you should have ridden me. But we got called into the stewards, and they said, no more. She can't ride against you. I said, we're not even married. She said, oh, but you cohabitate. The next day, my friend Greg Foley entered in a race I was entering in. We did it on purpose, and she showed up on the overnight riding against me. Call us back in. And I just stood in front of Stewart's. I said, you son of a bitches. She left me and took the kids. She'd rather ride for Greg than live with me. They threw us out, and she kept riding against me.
I thought it was just an insane rule to begin with. I mean, you're looking at, you know, if people – are you going to say then that the Ortiz brothers, every time they're in a race, they have to be the same odds? How would that work out with the betting public? You know, that's just a stupid, stupid rule. And I couldn't believe when they did it to begin with. And, you know, I know it started with Trevor McCarthy and Katie Davis. And, you know, these people are trying to make a livelihood. I mean, that's just you're taking away what they want to do when they have to be, have a coupled entry like that. It was just a stupid rule. And I'm glad that Kathy Hochul has already shown that I think she's going to be a friend to racing. Cuomo wasn't really. He never really liked horse racing, but I think she does. She understands the importance of it, and I think she's doing the right thing on this one.
Tim, why is it taking them so long to make this change? Is it only because of what we saw with Katie Davis and with Trevor McCarthy?
Well, I think so. And, you know, there's been a lot of other things going on in the government up here that's probably slowed things down, too. But, you know, I just think that the fact that it is being done now, it shows that they're on the right track as far as racing. And I just hope that as we go forward, things get better and better with racing with the new regime running the state up here.
I think there's probably nobody even realized it was a rule for the longest time. And then somebody dug it up with those two riding against one another. I bet you could go back in time and see where the rule was violated many times in different ways. But at least when they figured it out, they figured it out they need to fix it. And it got fast-tracked them through.
Yeah, moral of the story there. Dale, make sure you're giving Tammy a leg up moving forward here, my friend.
Exactly. She's still here, by the way.
All right, next. Today, as I mentioned, is indeed National Sports Day, so these next couple of topics are going to tie into that theme. How about this one, guys? Mattress Mack, Jim McInvale, is back in the sports headlines after placing his latest big bet on his hometown Houston Astros to win the World Series. In June, Mattress Mack bet $3.25 million on the Astros to win the World Series. This included a $2 million bet placed on the William Hill app, which is owned by Caesars Sportsbook. And the reason I mentioned that is because if the Astros win the whole thing, which, by the way, they are currently favored to do so, Mack's total payout is going to be $35.6 million, and the $22 million he would win on his $2 million bet, which he placed with William Hill, would reportedly be the largest single payout on a bet in U.S. history. So I ask you guys, has Mattress Mack completely lost his mind, or is he some sort of, I don't know, mad genius?
Well, if you got the money, why not spend it? I mean, he's got the money, obviously, to make these bets. I mean, I guess there's some madness to it, but if he wins, he is a genius. I mean, I just wish I had that kind of money to throw around on a sports bet. More power to him. Let him keep betting. He's got the money. Let him go ahead and do it.
Hey, gambling ain't no fun unless you bet more than you can afford to lose. And I'm sure he has to bet a whole lot to get a rush. So kudos to a man that backs his home team.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, too, is, you know, I wonder what he was going through his mind when the Astros were beating the drums, as we all know they were doing a couple years back.
Yeah, he lost, wasn't it $13 million after he bet the Astros to win the 2019 World Series?
And that's the next day that mattresses went up 20%.
Yeah, there is some other side of this story where he's hedging it against a promotion that he has going on at his mattress stores in Texas.
That was just kick in the can. That was just a kick in the can for him, though.
Yeah,
the money he's got. You know, I think it's kind of refreshing, and people are interested in it. And if people are saying, oh, they're getting down on him for doing that, the heck with them. I mean, it's his money; he can do what he wants with it.
I love gamblers. They're never happy. They're always trying to make the next score. They're the best.
Yeah, so Dale, you got the line of the day so far. Gambling ain't no fun if you can't bet more than you can afford to lose. Right, think about that. That's pretty deep. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Think about it.
Moving on. Topic number four. This, you know, you think about it. This weekend, this time of year is such a great time to be a sports fan. It's a weekend that's loaded with major sporting events across the board. In college football this afternoon, the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs are taking on the number 11 ranked and undefeated University of Kentucky Wildcats. That's a big deal here in the Bluegrass. Georgia is favored by about 22.5 points. If this were a match race between two horses currently in training, which horse would be Georgia and which horse would you say would be Kentucky? Tim, you want it first?
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, Georgia has to be the horse that everyone expects to win, right? So I would say I'm going to take my Georgia team is going to be Nick's Go. He's supposed to win. And my Kentucky is going to be a team that maybe isn't getting the respect maybe it should be getting. And I'm going to take Maxfield and put him in that position, because Maxfield's a horse that always shows up. I mean, he's got 7 wins and 10 starts, 2 seconds in the third. He's always in the mix. And I think that on his best day, he might be able to turn the tables on Nick's Go in the Classic, especially if this speed duel develops. So, you know, Maxfield will be my Kentucky to Nick's Go's Georgia.
Tim just stole my thunder. I put a lot of thought into it too, and that's a good analogy. So since Tim stole my thunder, I'm going to go back in time and not worry about horses racing today, and say Georgia is American Pharoah, and Kentucky is Keen Ice on Travers Day. Go Cats!
I thought you were going to say that anyway. I thought you were going to break the rules and go that way.
I like to break rules.
Well, we know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, as we all know, that Georgia did not fare well on Travers Day in 2015.
Exactly. So standing here in the Bluegrass cheering on the Cats.
All right, well, there you go. Go Cats.
No, I'm not going. That's too. That's a madhouse over there. Mike, you ever go to the games? You right there in town?
Yeah, I used to be a season ticket holder to UK football. But I'm not anymore, but I used to be. They're a lot of fun. Of course, today's game is at Georgia, so you have to go between the hedges down there in Athens. But we'll certainly be tuned in. The problem is, it's a 3:30 Eastern start, and, of course, we've got Keeneland going on. Dale, you'll be working. You got a couple of horses at Keeneland today, Officer Nick and Cabana Time. How about either of those two horses? Do they turn into Georgia later today for you?
We'll see what happens with the turf. If we can stay on the turf, I think they'll move way up. Neither one of them have run well on the dirt, but hopefully we stay on the turf and they run big. But we'll be keeping an eye on the score. Very proud of Kentucky football this year. They're unbelievable. Start out 6-0 like they have and win as many SEC games. Hats off to the coach. He's great.
Well, they just beat LSU, didn't they?
They just thumped on LSU, yeah.
Yep. All right, well, listen, I think – next week, we've gotten such great feedback on this segment, and I know that a lot of listeners who tune into this I Ask, They Answer segment each and every week would love to be able to ask questions of you guys. So I think starting next week, we will put it out there on social media, on our HRN Twitter account, that folks can send us a question that they would like the two of you to debate, the two of you to answer for them, and it'll be our HRN wild card question of the morning, and we'll wrap up these segments with that question from our listeners each and every Saturday morning. I think that would be a lot of fun. What do you think?
Sounds good to me, but I hope we have somebody sifting through them pretty good.
Yeah, we'll choose the one we like.
Right, exactly.
Well,
one week though, we ought to just have a wild card. You got to answer whatever's asked.
I think we should do that every time.
All right.
If people take the time to take a question, make a question up, we'll answer it.
There's some things I might not want to answer though.
And if they don't like the answers, that's too bad.
All right, Tim.
Dale, when are you legging Tammy up? There's a question for you.
Yeah. She keeps talking about $127,000 maiden race, and she might go back to riding in November.
Yeah, I can't blame her. Kidding. The money's fantastic.
I am kidding. That ain't happening. We got two kids, and it's too dangerous. But she won a lot of races. Had a good career as a jockey. She was way ahead of her time, a female rider in Kentucky. But, yeah, it'd be nice if she was riding right now with the purses where they are.
Yeah, Tammy Fox, for those of you who don't know who we're talking about there, just a really good rider. All right, guys, that'll do it for today. We're back next week, another brand-new edition, I Ask, They Answer. It'll be the same time. It'll be 10:30 Eastern. And good luck, Dale. Appreciate it. And, Timmy, good luck at the windows.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you later.
See you later.
All right. I Ask, They Answer, Dale Romans, Tim Wilkin. And by the way, if you missed any of those particular segments, all you have to do is go to our website. Podcasts of these shows is available for you each and every week. You can go back and listen to all of them right from the very beginning. I Ask, They Answer, Dale Romans, Tim Wilkin. They'll join me at 10:30 Eastern every single Saturday morning here on the Equine Forum. Don't miss next week's edition. And don't forget to weigh in on that question that we're going to put out there on our social media. If you have a question, by the way, and you don't do social media, and you want Dale and Tim to debate a certain topic, if you want them to answer and talk about something that's going on in the world of racing, you can email me, Mike@horseracingradio.net. That's another way to do it. And, of course, weigh in on social media. If you do have a Twitter account or a Facebook account, you can go to @HRN Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, I'm back to wrap it up right after this. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.